Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't this a great day?
Yes.
We appreciate having our brother Jean Grenier with us from Quebec. Great presentation during class. And we appreciate our time with him. Jean travels this time of year to all his supporting churches and individuals and travels a lot of miles.
Close to
8,000 miles. A lot of traveling. So we want to be praying for Jean and his work in Quebec. We do have the silver box out this morning, and so that's available. We want to bless Jean in that way. And also want to thank anyone who's here today, and there are a lot of you who've come because we've had a Friends and Family Day, and someone has invited you, and you've blessed them by coming today. You need to know you made our week just by being here today, and to be able to sing and praise God and honor God together. This is the best part of our week. Okay, I mean, the bad news is it's going to be downhill from here the rest of the week, but this is the highlight right now. This is the best part of every week. We praise God for that. Have you ever been driving and you see someone and you try to get their attention and you have a hard time getting their attention? Elizabeth, the other day you were driving and exited on 51st Street over here in Berry Hill, and you were at that three-way kind of stop light there, and you were sitting there. You were the first one at the light and you're just waiting, doing nothing but sitting there. And I honked at you profusely. I hadn't even talked to you since then. I honked at you, and you did not turn and look at me. And so I'd like to criticize you for that, because I missed out on that. But I applaud you for having your eyes where you need to be as a safe driver. When we drive, we tend to look where we're going. You know, some of us will notice other drivers. You'll see another driver and you'll wave at people, or you'll see someone and wave at them. You know, you're passing them, wave at them. They don't even see you. They don't look at you, nothing. And it can be a little irritating, but it's safe driving. We tend to look where we're going. That's how we function as drivers. I want to do something here. And before I do, also, have you ever been driving and you notice something on the side of the road and you're kind of rubbernecking, look off to it, and then all of a sudden you turn back and you're driving on the shoulder? We go where we look. But I appreciate our young people for sitting up here this morning, because I can do things like this and I don't have to crawl over people to do it. I have some things that, if you want, that I will give you, and I'm going to walk around here in a minute so I don't reach too far. But first, no, I don't want to give you that. Hold on. Somebody been digging in my stash here? I'll tell you in a minute what they're receiving, Mr. Jackson. Morning, Liz. There they are. Couldn't find them. Isn't that great? Come to church and you get something. You weren't expecting that. Jackson, you're already putting yours in your pocket. What did you get? How much did you get? $5? Snickers? You got the right kind? Elizabeth?
Nothing.
Nothing? What does that feel like when you get nothing? Other people have something. Feel like you got cheated. Some just got a Starburst. Some got a lousy dime. Some got a dollar. Some already ate their Snickers. One got $5. You know, the weird deal is, before I ever walked over here, Liz, you were perfectly content. I mean, life was good, right? I mean, here we are, Friends and Family Day. Everything's going well. And now all of a sudden, we're bummed out. And rightfully so. Come here, Liz. You like Starburst? You'd rather have a dog? I didn't see that coming. Glad I had one. If you don't ask, you don't get. Today's lesson is about the fact that we go where we look. And sometimes we're looking in the wrong places. And I want to start by just reminding us, oftentimes we're looking around and it doesn't take us where we need to go because we're noticing what other people have. What I didn't get that someone else has. For example, do you know who has a house like you would like to have? Do you know who has a car like you would like to drive? Do you know someone that has a job like you would like to have? I mean, we tend to be aware of these things, right? Because we look around at what other people have. Did you know, I want to show you something. Some of you don't even know these things exist. Oh, that's in the trash can. I'll tell Sydney about that later. This is, what's this called, young people?
Fidget spinner.
This is a fidget spinner. You know why they invented these?
To drive teachers crazy.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Evidently, some people just need something to fidget with. And so we have a whole market now of fidgety things. And my youngest daughter, she went online and she, one of those, and we have another one in the mail. It's coming. Got her a hard-earned money, and she's going to spend it on that thing. Why? Because she saw somebody had one. I want one of those. How many things do we have or think about or spend time on only because we saw somebody else has one? You know, when I, this was a few years ago, when I was young, we had those things. We had fidgety things in school, and it was called a paperclip. There's a lot of things you can fidget with, okay? You don't have to spend your money on that. But we see things that someone has and we want it. And we oftentimes are looking around at what there is in the world. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John 2, 16. This is an overall general idea about how we walk on this earth and we struggle because we see things. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Scripture is reminding us there's a lot of things that are earthly, and they have a little value for a little time, but they're not a big deal. And they have a time and a place. In fact, to be human is to desire, right? It's a part of who we are. As humans, we just desire things. But there's an appropriate level for that, and too much is too much. And so part of our problem is we look around too much. We see too much. Look at Psalm 119:37. If you want one verse or one just moment in this sermon that regarding what the whole point is about today of this lesson, this is it. Psalm 119:37. If you want a great psalm to pray, to add to your daily prayer life, write this one down. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Isn't that a great song? Turn my eyes. Don't you wish sometimes God would just grab you by the ears and pull you face to face with Him and say, look at me? Don't we need that? Because we just go through life, we're going where we're going and we're looking where we're going. And that's where our attention is. So sometimes we're looking around too much. Sometimes we're looking down too much. Figuratively, we're looking at negative things in our life. And when we do that, we're discouraged. We may be disgruntled. We may be dissatisfied because we're looking at what's wrong. We're looking at what's wrong in the world. We're looking at what's wrong in my life or what's wrong in my house or what's wrong with the things that I have. And when we do that, we get discouraged. Sometimes, if you ever watch the news and you get discouraged, my advice is quit watching it. Quit watching it. The Almighty, our Father, is still on the throne. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Our God is still God. And so we tend to kind of go where we look. Sometimes our problem is we're looking too much at ourselves. Now, I'm going to purposefully, just to honor our young people, I'm going to walk over here when I talk about this, but sometimes there's too many selfies in the world. We're doing too many selfies. Folks, I mean, a few years ago, we didn't even know what a selfie was. But now we have this word and this whole, it's an epidemic. And some of it's okay. We need to feel good about who we are because we're wonderfully and perfectly made by Almighty. But there's a point that we're looking too much at ourselves. And when we do that, we tend to go one of two ways. Maybe we look too much at our strengths and we get prideful. Pride is a dangerous thing. Maybe we look too much at our faults and we get depressed, discouraged, down, frustrated, in misery, too much at our weaknesses. Today's message is the fact that we need to look up. We need to look at God more. And if you've really been, and I hope you have been, in your spirit, enjoying this time together this morning, I mean, I almost hate to get up here. Let's just sing some more. I mean, this is good, isn't it? This is good. And a lot of the reason is, it's good because we're looking at Him. We're looking up. We need to look up more. We don't look up. Think about this. It's a little odd, but we don't look up more because we tend to look where we're going. And we live life in an earthly, physical world, and we tend to just look where we're going. I mean, tomorrow we'll get up and get ready for work. We'll go to work. We'll do work. We'll leave work, come home, and do a few chores at home, and we'll kind of do what we do, and that's what we tend to do, and I got to do this and this, and then we go to sleep. What do? Turn around, wake up, same thing tomorrow. We go where we're going. And we're just oftentimes going through life really not being purposeful about our destination and about how we are living this life. And so my question is, if we keep looking where we're going, won't we keep going where we're going? In other words, why don't we look where we want to go? Why don't we look where we want to be? I want to be more spiritually minded. I've got to have my eyes on God more. The truth is, when we're looking or going in the wrong place, we have to make a change. Otherwise, we'll continue to go that way. There was a time I was driving to Mom and Dad's cabin on Lake Eufaula. And I was driving there from, I always went one direction from the north. And this time I was coming from the south. And I had some familiarity with the area, some. I had no map. I had this before GPS, and it's at night, and I get to going, and I'm going. I go where I know where I am. I'm in the general area, and then I don't know where anything is. I mean, nothing looks familiar. It's dark. It's getting late. I'm driving. I don't know where I'm going, and I'm in an area where there's nothing. I mean, this is before cell phones. It's getting later, and I'm driving more and more. And I'm. If you've ever been lost. And you ever started to panic, I start to get that panicky feeling, kind of like, you know, the Twilight Zone. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to end, but it's not going well. And I'm starting to panic. I don't know where I am or where I'm going or how I'm going to get there. And then what do you do in those cases? You drive faster. And I remember that one moment when I'm driving too fast. And I'm driving and it hits me, you know, if I'm going the wrong way, like if I need to go this way, and I'm going this way, I'm just getting further from where I need to be. And it's a weird feeling. A lot of us are going through life, and we're making good time. We're making good time. We're just not going the right way. I mean, we're just not going to where we really want to be. The fact is, all of our answers are with God. All of our answers are up. If your marriage is in trouble, the answer's up.
That's right.
If your finances are in trouble, the answer is up.
That's right.
If your health is in trouble, our answer is here.
Amen.
If we have troubles with our future, we're not sure what, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work in my future. I've got to figure something out. Our answer is up. If we're having trouble with our past, some of us, our past just haunts us. Your answer is up. The answer to our problems in life is not more money. It's not more things. It's not a different job. It's not certainly not a different spouse. It's not found in a political party. It's not found in education. we recently had all over our globe efforts of marches and people trying to get the attention of leaders regarding science. We've had, I don't know if you noticed this, but we've had all these marches in the name of science. The answer to our world's problems is not in science. In fact, ironically, now think about this for a moment and remember this. Science does not prove that God does not exist. Science, by its own definition, will not consider God's existence. Because science limits itself to only that which is observable, testable, provable. Well, we walk by faith. You can't talk to someone who adheres to science strictly and have a conversation about spiritual things because they have locked themselves in a box and they will, that is not under consideration. There's a reason science does not talk or include God's existence, and that is they will not even consider it by how they've defined what science is. Now, that's a little confusing, but it is true that our young people are growing up being indoctrinated with these things. And what I'm saying is our answer is not in science. Our answer is in a Savior. It's in the Almighty God. Our answer is up. It's not studying God's creation. It's studying the Creator. And that's what we do. And that's what we're about. On a side note, I just want to quickly kind of make a point about this. It's interesting to me. Why do we bow our heads when we pray? Why do we look down when we pray? And to add to that, why do we close our eyes? I remember as a young person, you ever remember being a kid and seeing someone not closing their eyes? And I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, so-and-so, they weren't closing their eyes when they were praying. Everybody knows we're supposed to close our eyes. Because Mama taught me to close my eyes when I was this high when you pray. Bow your head, close your eyes. Why do we do that? We do it because somebody before us did it, and that's how they taught us to do it. Probably because at an age when we're unruly, that's one way that Mom could get us or Dad could get us to calm down and focus on something. Just close your eyes, quit looking around. Trying to find something to fidget with. So Jesus in John 17:1 lifted up his eyes to heaven and prayed. We can pray looking up. The reality is we need to look up more. And I want to leave you with three specific ways that we need to look up more. And one is to look up in thanksgiving. We have a great passage in Philippians 4, verse 6. This is it's a wonderful passage for times when we are worrying or stressed or struggling. And Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be stressed. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a time the other day I come home and it's time to do homework. And Abby is stressing out. And She has this project due in 2 days. She's sitting in front of the computer. She's you know how when everything just locks up? You know what I mean? Like you need to do 50 things and you get so overwhelmed you can't do one thing. And that's where she was. So she's kind of having a mini meltdown. And I go over to help. And when I find out what's wrong, the first thing I do is tell her I want her to relax. First thing I do, take a deep breath. I put my hand on her back. It's going to be okay. I remind her of the previous project where, do you remember with that project how you freaked out and kind of lost it and thought you weren't going to be able to get it done and it was overwhelming and what happened? I got it done. Yeah. Remember that? God tells us when we are worried, He wants us to look up and pray to Him. I'm not saying it's wrong to bow our heads in prayer. We bow our heads, by the way, I think because at some point it was adopted as a means of humility. And that's a very honorable thing to God. So it's a good and right thing. It's not the only way. But I want her to remember how it worked out before. When we pray to God, He wants us to remember Hey, when you ask me for something, don't forget to be thankful for the things I've already done. Don't forget to remember what I did for you yesterday and last month and last year. Don't forget. It's amazing the connection between thanksgiving and peace. And remember, God wants to give us peace. He'll give us a peace that passes understanding. He'll give us a peace before the problem's resolved. That's what we want for our children, isn't it? And that's what our Heavenly Father wants for us. We need to look up more. We need to look up for guidance. You ever have situations where you're mad or you're hurt or you're offended? When you get mad, what do you want to do? I don't blame you for not saying it. If there are things we think and we don't need to do and we don't even want to say them. But when we get mad, I mean, we want to lash out at somebody. We want to break something, break somebody. Right? I mean, we have different levels of struggles with anger, but we all know what anger is. And the truth is, when we get frustrated, we very well know what we want to do. Okay? We don't have to study that. What we don't know is what God wants me to do. That's what we forget. That's what doesn't come to mind so easily and quickly. But Psalm 119 says, I will meditate on your precepts. We meditate on things. This is where our mind just kind of goes over and over and over and over and over and over something. And it's either what someone did to us that was wrong, or it's how my life would be better if I could, you know, change this in it, or why someone is such a rotten scoundrel. Or, I mean, we go over in our minds these things. But look at this. Fix my eyes on your ways. This is God. We need him to take us by the ears. God, fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Don't ever forget, God wants to bless you. It may not be in the ways you think would be a blessing, but don't forget, our God is a giver. Deal bountifully with your servant, right? God is a giver of life. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things in your law. We need to be in this more. We need to fix our eyes in this more. We need to know it more. Meditate on it. Why would you meditate on God's word? Because in the heat of battle, we'll know what we want to do. What we don't know is what God wants us to do. That's why we have to meditate on it. Have it in our minds. And then I want to leave us with one final thing. The second coming. Hebrews 9:27. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Will appear a second time.
Amen.
A science textbook will not tell you about this. God, the Almighty, will send His Son, and He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. Abby is getting ready to go to a fifth grade camp. Our fifth graders, they, as a part of the school system and a part of their education, our fifth graders go away for 1 week to fifth grade camp. And she's pumped. They leave tomorrow. She was packed yesterday. She's ready. She's ready. She's waiting. She's eagerly waiting. Is that how we are about Jesus' second coming? Or are we eagerly chasing things of this life? I remember when I was young and I wanted Jesus to come back, and I looked forward to that, but I wanted him to wait until I could do some things in my life. I wanted to, right? I wanted to get married. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to enjoy life, and I had things in my future I was looking forward to. That's an immature mindset. I know that now. I know when we get to heaven, we will wish we'd have gotten there sooner. I almost, Steve went to heaven the other day. And when I say heaven, paradise, I'm not getting sidetracked on exactly where we go when we die and those kind of things. But just kind of lumping that together. But I about ran over Steve on his scooter the other day, pulling in the parking lot. I did. But luckily, I was looking where I was going. If I had, he wouldn't have minded it. As long as I killed you. I'd have to kill you still. As long as I killed you. On accident. When we get to heaven, we will not wish we lived longer here. That's why we need to focus here. We need to look up more. We need to be eagerly waiting for the second coming. And if we're not, that's how we know we're not looking up enough. If you're not eager for Jesus to come back, you're looking around too much. You're looking in the wrong places. And so today's sermon, I just wanted to remind us, sometimes we need to come and just sit and think about our life and say, you know, am I going where I really want to go? Am I really living and leading my family the way I really want to? And so this morning, I encourage you, make a change. And understand it will be a difficult change. You won't change direction of your life easily, but make a change. And if there's someone here this morning that would like us to pray for them or help them, or maybe one who's not ready for Jesus' second coming, and you know you're not, and you'd like to become a Christian this morning, you'd like to put on Christ in baptism, have your sins washed away, if there's someone that, if you have a need that we can help you with, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, because you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me.